madrugada já rompeu. Você vai me abandonar, eu sinto que o perdão você não mereceu, eu quis a ilusão. Agora a dor sou eu. Madrugada já.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Stan Getz and Yao Gilberto from 1976, an amazing new album that's just been kind of remastered and re-released. I'll be playing it all through the show, and I'll be talking for the next 40 minutes or so to my great friend and great novelist, Peter Ferry. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm not dragging you away from the Academy Awards, am I?
Not at all.
Because I don't really care either. You're in transit. You did a signing or a book talk in Lexington, and now you're in Indianapolis. Is that right?
Yep. On my way home.
Well, how is it your first novel came as an incredible, shocking delight to me called Travel Writing, and your second novel, yep, Old Heart, is it's equal in any level. How's the Old Heart tour going? How are you doing with that? What were you doing in Lexington, Peter Ferry?
I was doing a book group with a former student from Lake Forest High School, graduated in 1982. And my book tour is very modest, and it consists mainly of book clubs, which I really love doing. Sitting around in front of bookstores, like I'm selling Girl Scout cookies.
Does it remind you at all?
I really love book clubs.
Peter, you had a lengthy career as a teacher. Does it remind you at all of the classroom?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the great thing about a book club is that you have people who want to talk about your book and want to talk about you and what can be better.
Yeah, you're right. What's the reception? I loved Old Heart, and I've got to assume Old Heart is a novel about it's about an elderly guy, a guy named Tom Johnson, who's 85 and is trying to kind of make amends and put together pieces of his life that were lost, and he does so by leaving his family. When you're talking to a crowd of 40-somethings, is it different than talking to contemporaries?
Well, yeah. I found, to my surprise a little bit, that everyone has a way of relating to it, because the book's really about family relationships.
Yeah.
Up and down and backwards and forwards, and adult children with their aging parents, and aging children, aging parents with their children, and parents with any children. So I found that someone has something to hang on to, and no matter how they approach the book. One of the people in the book group today was an 85-year-old man. So very interesting.
Wow.
Exactly the age of Tom Johnson.
Sure. And what was he interested in? I think the interesting thing about the book clubs you're doing, Peter Ferry, is I think there's a, instead of saying, how do you write? How do you get your ideas? I think people are more interested in how you translate feelings, if that's not making too much of this. Is it, Peter?
No, I don't. I mean, that's exactly what it is. But there are questions about how do you write? How do you get your ideas? And there are always questions about, is any of this autobiographical? Did you have an elderly relative from home, and but the truth of the matter is, I think that almost everything you write in one way or another is autobiographical, in that it's taken from your life.
Sure.
And a lot of this has to do with my mother, who died 6 years ago when she was 94 years old, and I watched her age, and I enjoyed her so much, and I thought, gosh, I'd like to write about that whole process.
Was this book easier than Travel Writing?
Easier
meaning, the first novel, as Travel Writing was, is kind of, you're exercising a lot of muscles that you haven't exercised before, and in so doing...
Yeah, I think in that way it's easier. You've learned how to pace yourself, you have more confidence. In a sense, you set out to tell a story, and I think there's a little less showing off.
Yeah.
I think in the first time you write, you want to prove that you can do it. And then you have shown that you can do it. So the second time you relax a little bit, and the story is more on the focus. The focus is more on the story than on the writer.
It was, and it still amazes me, Peter Ferry, that it took so long to get this second novel published, because your first novel, Travel Writing, was widely acclaimed. It did not hit the top of the New York Times bestseller list, though it probably deserved to. Was that a frustration for you, or did it just tell you how screwed up the book business is?
Well, you know, Rick, it was both of those things.
Yeah.
And in an odd way, it was a blessing as well, because but it's also just a reality. The book business is difficult. My first one I sold in 2006 to Harcourt for a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And when it was published in 2008, my wife, who is an attorney, told a partner of hers, who's intellectual properties attorney, how much, and he said, "Well, no, don't tell anyone that, because that's not going to happen again. It doesn't happen anymore." And it didn't. So, you know, my second novel was, I'll tell you the story of that. Harcourt had my first novel was, as you say, if I may repeat you, highly acclaimed.
No question.
It didn't make the New York Times bestseller list. But Harcourt had a right of first refusal on a second novel. And so my agent said, you know, they're not going to buy your second novel. And I said, why not? And she said, because they're in trouble. You know, they're like a lot of publishing houses. They're struggling to survive, and they're only taking sure bets. And you're just not a sure enough bet.
Mm.
And I said, wow. And she knew what she was talking about. She'd worked for them as an editor for a number of years. She edited by Philip Roth. Novel for
wow.
Harcourt. She said, we have to take it to them. So we did take it to them. And the senior editor, a wonderful woman named Jenna Jones, loved it. And she said, you know, we got to have it. We have to buy this novel, and I'll talk to you next week. And my wife said, okay, go out to dinner. And I said, well, let's not go yet. And sure enough, the next week, she called back and said, you know, I've been outvoted. We're not going to publish your novel. And I could tell it was with great regret.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And I'm pretty sure that it was the money guys who had overruled. But, this isn't a poor is me story, because it's just the way the industry is. And
yeah.
There are an awful lot of good writers, of which I consider myself one, who are having a hard time because it's a tough industry. And there's no one to blame, Rick. I mean, it's not as if there's a nefarious plot or something. It's just, you know, it's hard to publish things because it's hard to make money on things. And people
yeah.
are gun-shy in the industry.
And I can also see, Peter, you know, in the old heart, as wonderful and tender as it is, when you tell a publisher, well, it's about an 85-year-old man, they're like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like Star Wars, or that doesn't sound like The Revenant, or it doesn't sound like you know, one of those books that has the big blockbuster appeal that we're looking for. I find it tragic, because I think both of your books are remarkable. Do you have your own website yet, Peter?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I do.
PeterFerry.com?
Peter Ferry Writes, WRITES.
Because
I would mention, just as a matter of self-promotion, that love to do book groups, so get in touch with me, and I'll come to your book group.
Yeah,
buy Old Heart, and I'll come talk to you.
Well, Peter is going to be appearing with my next guest, who's going to join Peter and me, Elizabeth McKenzie. How do you know Elizabeth McKenzie, Peter Ferry, before we take a break? How do you know her?
The very small world of publishing. Elizabeth, like you, if I won't embarrass you, is an extremely helpful, generous person who goes out of her way to promote other writers. She's the editor of a Chicago Quarterly Review. She's the editor of a California journal called Catamaran
Literary Reader. Well, we'll get her on, Peter. If you can hang on, I do want the two of you to sort of give me a preview of what you'll be doing when you both appear this Friday at City Lit Books at 2523 North Kedzie at 6:30, a free event, a conversation with Peter and Elizabeth McKenzie. So if you can hold on, I'll get Elizabeth on the phone, and then you can give a preview of what you're going to talk about. And we can talk about her book, which I'm halfway through. It's called The Portable Veblen, and it is, it's about, among many things, a woman who talks to a squirrel. We'll be right back.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, o resto de toco um pouco sozinho. Um caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol, é a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol. É peroba do campo, nó da madeira, cainga, candeia.
My new favorite album that Stan Getz and Yauger Berto from 1976. I'm going to play that for the rest of the show. I'm lucky to have for the next 25 minutes my friend Peter Ferry. Peter and I were just talking about his two novels, Travel Writing and Old Heart, two fine, fine, I think, brilliant novels, and the vagaries of publishing. And now I'm very pleased to be joined by Elizabeth McKenzie to talk about her new novel, The Portable Veblen, which I am a third through, Elizabeth. Usually I am always so good at finishing books, but the book came late to me. You come so highly recommended. It's not even funny to me. Our mutual friend Gary Houston has been crazy about you, and Peter seems to be crazy about you too. Right, Peter?
Absolutely.
Well, Peter, you say about the book, you say about her recent novel, make no mistake, McKenzie has written big. This is important stuff. Dave Eggers meets Beatrix Potter. Explain that, Peter, if you might. Elaborate, if you might, before Elizabeth starts telling us what her writing's all about. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, it is a book, and it has the big ideas of Eggers and the fanciful aspect of Beatrix Potter, and in that sense, it's quite unique. It's unlike anything I've ever read. I think it's just very original and very special.
Elizabeth, it is undoubtedly original. I can vouch for the first third of that, and you have hundreds of reviews saying the same. Might you tell me a little about yourself? You're not from Chicago, though you do are an editor at the Chicago Quarterly Review. Where are you from?
Well, I've lived all my life in California, but both my parents are from the Chicago area. My father grew up in Waukegan, and my mother grew up in Western Springs. So, yes, and I have this other connection through the Chicago Quarterly Review. So I do feel connected to Chicago for sure.
And you are coming here to be in conversation with Peter this coming Friday. It's a free event at City Lit Books, which is at 2523 North Kedzie at 6:30. What are you two going to talk about, Elizabeth?
Well, let me just say,
yes, go ahead,
first
Peter.
Of all, that I'm the intro act. That Elizabeth is the headliner here. Her book, The Portable Veblen, is just going great guns and had a front page review in the New York Times, and is really quite sensational. So I'm just there to be in dialogue with her.
Well, Elizabeth, you know how self-effacing Peter is, and he's there.
I know.
There was a grand example, because I love I love his two books. Have you read
so
them?
Do I.
Have you read them both?
Yes, I have, and I hope you read my quote for him from Old Heart.
Indeed, I did. Indeed,
good,
I did.
Because it's one of my favorite novels I've read in a long time, and it moved me greatly.
Let me ask you, Peter and I. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not drawn immediately now to this free event Friday at City Lit Books, you can sense the mutual charm that these two have. 2523 North Kedzie. Peter and I were talking before we brought you on about the strange vagaries of contemporary book publishing. Was this a difficult book for you to get published?
Well, it was a mixture, because I did at one point have an agent, formerly my agent, who wasn't particularly happy with it and wasn't going to send it out. So that period of time lasted for several years, and I was you know, trying to kind of please her and get it to the point when she where she would send it. But that never happened. But once I did find another agent who was very enthusiastic, it did sell right away. So
that first agent can be seen kicking herself up and down the West.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of what you like, and you know, I can't blame her for that. But yeah, I've definitely felt both sides of it for sure.
No question. How did you two meet?
Well, we met through mutual. Our friend Saeed Heder, who's the founder of the Chicago Quarterly Review, and he had met Pete actually years ago, but also more recently through Don DeGrazia.
Oh,
and
sure.
So,
who I introduced?
Isn't that right, Pete?
This is too small a world. I think that's yeah. I think you met Don through me, right, Peter?
I did.
Oh my gosh! Okay. Well, I knew you were part of this.
Well, yeah, a good part, I suppose. when you travel, and I think you've been doing a relatively, given the nature of publishing, a relatively extensive tour for the Portable Veblen, have you not, Elizabeth?
Well, I have been around a bit. Yeah, I was in Mississippi and North Carolina and Michigan and Washington State and Los Angeles and, you know, Chicago this week. So,
is that a good indication to you that the publisher is behind this, or is that a good indication to you that your book is catching fire?
Well, I have an editor who's been really enthusiastic and I think has transferred his enthusiasm to Penguin Press. So I do, you know, that's been great. And I do think they've
She's
been
She's too modest to answer, Rick.
Yeah.
What else could I say?
You can be honest with the two of us, Elizabeth. It's a novel of what I find so far, and again, I'm only a third through, but I cannot wait to finish it, which I might actually do tonight after the radio show. There's a lot going on in this. There's a lot going on in this book. It's about family and war, and some of the veteran stuff is terribly moving to me. You can't possibly, Elizabeth McKenzie, go in and begin writing a novel. The ideas must come at you like waves, yes? You can't go in thinking, I'm going to write a big bunch of big ideas. But do you know what I mean?
Exactly. No, it was, in fact, I thought it would be several books at first. Do you mind if I say kind of what the most recent thing someone said to me that it's a
no,
way to describe
what?
It?
This is your show, you guys.
Someone said it's the Moby Dick of squirrels. So, like, that was the shortest way to describe it I've found so far. But yes, it is a satirical anti-war novel. It's got social criticism influenced by Thorsten Veblen, who, you know, of course, wrote about conspicuous consumption and conspicuous waste. And it's a philosophical novel about mental illness and family relationships.
And a young couple trying to make a go of it in this wacky, crazy world. What books influenced you in the writing of this? I mean, I'm not talking about, your earliest reading, but what was on your mind? I mean, I'm thinking something like maybe Slaughterhouse-Five.
Oh, my God, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say Slaughterhouse-Five and Catch-22 were two models for me, you know, of stuff that was serious but very satirically done. And also
I got to tell you something else, and I hope you agree too, Peter, about Elizabeth's book, The Portable Veblen, is the book's very funny.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly funny. It's a book about the human heart in every possible way.
Yeah.
And in that way, too. And it's about the human heart and the squirrel heart.
Yes, the squirrel heart, because the protagonist talks to a squirrel. If that doesn't grab you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what will. We got to take a short break, but we're going to continue on. How do you like talking to the two of us, Elizabeth McKenzie?
It's really fun.
We're a pretty good team,
okay.
Because I think it's because we both love good writing. Elizabeth is the author most recently of The Portable Veblen, Peter most recently of Old Heart. They will both be appearing together. It's not really like some kind of comedy. You're not like the opening act, Peter. Aren't you guys going to have a conversation at City Lit Books? Well, Peter can tell five
really
jokes.
About Elizabeth.
Peter can tell five jokes, then we can you can replay portions of this radio interview, and then you can get going. You two both hang. You two fine writers, hang on. We'll be back in like 2 seconds. We have a few more minutes with Peter Ferry, who is from this neighborhood, and Elizabeth McKenzie, whose parents are from this neighborhood, but she now lives in California. They will both be appearing Friday at a free event at City Lit Books, 2523 North Kedzie, to talk about Elizabeth's latest, The Portable Veblen, which is getting raves across the country, and Peter's books, which have gotten raves. They're not quite as new, Travel Writing and The Old Heart. You both seem, though, you both, Peter, you came to novel writing relatively late in life after a career as a teacher. And Elizabeth, you came to novel writing relatively early. I don't know what you did before you began writing books. What did you do?
Well, right after college, I got a job at the Atlantic Monthly in Boston as the assistant to the fiction editor. So I was really interested.
That's a great job.
It was such a great job. And I was, you know, always interested in publications and magazines and stuff like that. So going from there, I think that's what led to me getting on the Chicago Quarterly Review with Saeed Heder. But I have been writing for a long time.
It may also have led to her publishing a story last year in The New Yorker. It's called The Savage Breast, which is one of the best short stories ever written.
Wow. What's the name of the short story, Peter? What's the name of the
Savage Breast?
Wow.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
Wow. Elizabeth, it's nice to come on a radio. It's nice to come on a radio show and get this kind of massaging from two different guys, one in the middle of Indiana and the other sitting in Chicago.
Except I'm not that generous with praise. It's completely worthy of that.
Oh, thank you, Pete. Wow.
What are you in the throes of this, the accolades and positive news about this book? Are you working on something new now, or does this kind of inhibit that progress?
Well, it's true that I'm a little distracted right now, but I'm definitely working on stories and, you know, more kind of stories along the vein of that one that Pete just mentioned. And I seem to be writing a lot about small mammals a lot. Like, I just finished one about a chinchilla and another one about a hamster. Well, so I don't know what's going on.
It's a niche.
Yes,
exactly. Peter, what about you? Are you working on something new now?
Yeah, I'm writing a mystery. Mm. Kind of because I always wanted to, and I'm just having a great time. It's called The Big Potato, as opposed to Small Potatoes.
Oh, I love that.
Could you both talk to me for a second about you both? I know Peter pretty well, and I don't know you, Elizabeth, but you sound delightful, and I love your writing so far. One-third in, I'm sure I'll love the entire book, The Portable Veblen. Talk to me, if you could, about, because I hear from so many, I know a lot of writers, and for a lot of writers, there is a decreasing amount of joy that they find in writing, I think, partly because of the inhibited kind of commercial nature of it all. You two both sound to me, and I know you do, Peter, you find incredible joy in writing, don't you?
Pete, do you want to go first?
I have the joy that comes with not having to make a living at it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about writers who have to put bread on the table. I'm a retired teacher with a cushy Illinois Teachers Association pension, so I'm home free on that count. And I've come to it late in life, as you said. So it's all about joy. It's like it's all gravy. It's such fun.
Elizabeth, for you, this is you're at the beginning of what I'm sure you hope, and what I certainly hope, is a decades-long career writing. How do you feel about that, the commercial pressure? And you seem to me and sound to me like someone who needs to write like you need to breathe.
Well, it's true. I, I actually did publish a novel in 2007. It was called McGregor Tells the World, and it had a quiet release, but I was happy, you know, I was very happy about it. And I started out on this book at that time, and I didn't have a contract, and I didn't suspect I'd have a lot of interest in it just because of the quietness of the release of the last one. And so I had no pressure, really. And, you know, I spent about 7 years on it. And it was, even though there were some moments of, like, you know, doubt and desperation, overall, I felt like a lot of joy in just really exploring the material as deeply as I could without worrying about being published and maybe even thinking it wouldn't get published. So.
And what do you both? You both do a tremendous amount of reading. Certainly you do, Elizabeth, maybe even more than Peter, because you're the senior editor at the Chicago Quarterly Review and the managing editor of, who named the Catamaran Literary Reader?
Oh, well, it's the creation of Catherine Segerson, who founded it. And yes, that's right.
So you were obviously reading a ton of stuff by some accomplished and some not so accomplished writers. Give me, if you could, a state of contemporary writing as you see it.
Well, okay, there's a lot of writers.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of really great material, actually. You know, maybe not all of it is for us, but I'm just surprised at how great some of the stuff is that we get sent, you know. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this could be in The New Yorker or The Atlantic,
oh, that's
or, you
so
know.
Encouraging.
And so it's exciting to see some really great stuff and to be able to get our hands on it. We've published Pete twice in the Chicago Quarterly. We've
I know
had,
that. You've published a number of my friends in the Chicago Quarterly. And for those of you who don't know what that is, Google, I hate to do this, but Google Chicago Quarterly Review and become a subscriber because it is a place for very inventive new fiction.
Thank you.
My pleasure. You two are going to be a sensation, I think, Friday at City Lit Books. You're going to go out for drinks afterward, do you think?
Or before, maybe.
or during. Peter, you're in Indianapolis. I so appreciate you in the middle of your travels. He came back. He was at a wonderful book club gathering in Lexington, Kentucky, which is a good town for it, and is on his way back. And he'll probably tell you all about that this Friday night at a free event.
Oh, I can't wait.
At a free event at City Lit Books, 2523 North Kedzie. It starts at 6:30. You can go to peterferrywriter.com.
Right. No, writes.
Peter Ferry writes. Just Google Peter Ferry. F-E-R-R-Y. You'll find him. You should get his books. peterferrywrites.com. Elizabeth, you have a website too?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready. It's theportablezeppelin.com.
theportablezeppelin.com. If you're in a bookstore, and we do still do have some bookstores, look for a book with a squirrel on the cover.
Well, you're going to see her book right up front.
Good.
Any bookstore you walk into.
You two,
everywhere.
You two have been delightful. Elizabeth, I hope to one day meet you. We have a lot of mutual friends. Peter, you were a great pal, and keep writing and keep talking words, okay?
Thank you, Rick.
Oh, no, thank you both. It was really fun for me, too. I will finish the book within a day or two. I'm totally...
Let me know what you think.
You bet I will. I'll send you an email. Again, Peter Ferry and Elizabeth McKenzie together and in whatever order Peter thinks they should be in, Friday night at 6:30 at City Lit Books, 2523 North Kedzie. Good night, both. Safe travels, Peter, and I hope to meet you, Elizabeth.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Take care, both of you.